Blog Talk Radio.
Coming into you live, your host Money Girl will be in shortly, and Money Girl on Money Girl Manic Mondays, it's going to be a deep dive into the kilowatts and talking about the duck curve, and our host will be here with us shortly, Sometimes, there's tech issues and the show must go on, and so the show does. And let's do another encore lesson of the theme song for Money Girl Manic Mondays. It's Manic Mondays by the Bengals.
Valentino by a Hello, hello, hello. It's Money Girl. We are having technical difficulties because radio stations and run on energy. Energy is a technical subject, and it's deciding to be difficult. So let's try this again. We're kind of going to do a semi-deep dive into how our kilowatt hours get to us. Now, we discussed what a kilowatt hour is. That kilo for 1,000, that's 1,000 watts. A watt is a unit of energy used to do work. It was actually named after James Watt, the inventor of the steam engine, back in the 1700s. So 1,000 watts, 1,000 units of energy. And it comes to us in various sources. Here in the California ISO, and there are about six to 10 different ISOs throughout the country that do not intersect. So they do not intersect. Those are, and the ISO stands for Independent System Operator. This means we get our energy from a bunch of sources. If you've driven out up to 10, you've seen a wind farm. If you go further out, there is what's called a CPS, a concentrated solar power array, which if you've seen some Mission Impossible movies, you've seen it, where there are all of these mirrors that are focused on a central system that is used to heat salt, which then transfers the energy to water, which is then used to boil to create steam, which is used to turn a flywheel, which is used to move magnets, which generate a pulse field, which generate electricity. It's the same way we have been generating electricity from steam for over 150 years. This has not changed. And you remember I talked about, we may even talk about the duck curve. Well, the duck curve represents all of the different streams of energy and all of the types of demand that occur on any average day in an ISO. That ISO, in our case, California, which consists of California, Southern Oregon, a small portion of Nevada, and a small portion of Western Arizona, all the way down to the Mexican border. So within that ISO, we have solar farms, wind farms. So where are the wind farms? Well, Banning Pass, for one. Altamont Pass in Northern California is part of PG&E, for another. We have distributed solar in that people are using solar on their roofs, on their homes. So when they talk about spinning the meter backwards in order to decrease your power bill, what they're really talking about is distributed solar, which is any solar power excess over what your solar panels generate. And if you want to know how much they will generate, you need to go to pvwatts.gov. It will list how much energy your roof, your particular square foot roof, in mine it's about 400 square feet, will generate on a given day when it's cloudless, because then that will have more hours of what's called insolation, insolation, which is the hours that the sun shines on a particular area. That will give you an estimate of how many hours you can generate over a year. You then have to essentially divide that by 12. Well, okay, that actually isn't true, because remember, some days the sun shines more than others. If you've been in California this spring, it's like, where am I, Seattle? It has been overcast and overcast and overcast. In fact, at one point they calculated that San Diego, which is to the south of us and should have better weather, had not had a full day of sun or had the sun break through the marine layer clouds all that month. That's 31 straight days of no sun. Now, that is due in part to our weather and where we're located next to the cold Pacific Current, which the heating differential between the land and the ocean will cause a low to form over the ocean during the day, which generates clouds, which is our marine layer, which inland during the evening hours by offshore winds, which they are blowing from a zone of higher pressure to a lower pressure as the land cools. So that's how that happens. So when you wake up, well, it wasn't cloudy when I went to bed. Money girl, what's happening? Well, weather, meteorology, and these trends over the long term are called climate. And by the long term, I don't mean like 1 year or 2 years. We're talking over a decade's time, over 5 years' time, over a decade's time, which is 10 years, to how our power gets to us. Okay, the power has, that the ISO has calculated, we have this number of homes, this is what the weather forecast is likely to be, this is how much power we're going to need for industry, for classes at colleges, for people working from home, turning on their computers, running their laptops. All of those take energy. As a matter of fact, my laptop runs at about 100 watts an hour. So it will use like 1.5 kilowatts all day. However, when you add that up with the millions of computers that are turned on and the fans needed to cool those computers because heat and computers don't mix. Why? The heat, remember, the watts generated also generates not just power, but also heat. The heat generated will cause the circuitry to malfunction and in some cases to melt. So you need to have the fans, which produces an extra load on the energy grid. Well, the duck curve. Remember I started talking about the duck curve? I haven't forgot about it. The duck curve measures all sources of energy up to midnight. And then that all drops and demand starts to rise again about 4 or 6 o'clock in the morning and rises until it peaks about noon, which is when we are supposed to have the most hours of insolation, and then declines, but it starts to decline right about 4 o'clock, which is when people start getting home, things start coming on. In December, it starts getting dark. All of those things are happening all at once. Little things, all the little things everywhere all at once. Then you're going to need further power generation capability. And that will continue to increase until roughly 10 o'clock, and then it will drop off again. So then you see you have this curve that comes up, that goes down, and has a peak, and then it drops like a beak of a duck, which is how it's called, the duck curve. But it's used to predict how much power, what kind of power generation plants you're going to need. Well, in California, we have energy from several different sources. About 60% comes from natural gas. Yes, it's a fossil fuel. It's a lot cleaner than the coal-fired power plants used in, say, Connecticut or under Reggie. Connecticut, Vermont, New York, all of those places are using coal. Here in California, we don't get as much. Okay, we used to get more coal. We used to get more coal-fired energy because, guess what, dirty little secret? It comes from Delta, Utah. It's transferred 800 miles across the desert on those high-tension power lines you see as you're going down the 10, losing energy all this way until it comes to several different power nodes in places like Riverside, San Bernardino, downtown Los Angeles, and then it gets distributed and into smaller grids, such as your house, your neighborhood, the circuit that runs the stoplight on the corner. All of those are dependent on different circuits, but it all comes from essentially one source. This is not necessarily the most resilient power source, even though you have many different contributions, some of which are green, some of which are not. So in order to make the grid more resilient, so if we have an earthquake, okay, not if, when we have a major earthquake, like 1994, we're not going to give the people in Oregon a power blackout just because we have a blackout. Or if we're having an exceptionally bad weather day and the wind isn't blowing in the Altamont Pass or in the Banning Pass, or we're overcast all the way out to the Arizona border, we will have what is called, we'll have energy. We will have to buy it on what's called the day-ahead market, which is a lot more expensive. It's about three times the cost per kilowatt hour than we are currently paying. And that is even with what is called time of use. Because if you noticed under TOU, time of use, what rate you are being charged varies by time of day. And that is because you have, like with the duck curve, you're going to have a glut of power at one point. You're going to need more. And because, remember, power isn't stored. I don't care about your power wall. This really, it doesn't factor into this. This is coming from your power distributor. We're talking PG&E. We're talking Southern California Edison. We're talking Sempra. All of these things come from that source. They have forecasted that all of their rates are controlled by the Public Utilities Commission in Sacramento, and they are fixed for a specific amount of time, change to be able to increase your rates. They have to go to Sacramento, petition the Public Utilities Commission, have open comments for a specific period of time, and then most of the time it's granted. All of those things are happening all at once. This affects how much you pay for power. And believe me, industry does not pay the same that you pay per kilowatt hour. As a matter of fact, they pay a subsidized rate that is about 30 to 40% lower than what you're paying for your household electricity, which is why you see these big office buildings. They don't care if you don't turn off the lights. If you were like my office downtown, I had to stand up every 45 minutes after 5 o'clock because they figured everyone had gone home and the lights would turn themselves off. So we didn't need to have extra lights on. That's how they handled that, because everything was on motion sensors and a timer. Okay. So that's how your power comes to you fresh every day, every minute you turn on the light, every time you plug in your computer, every time you go to use your weed eater, all of that. And that's how the duck curves figures into it. So money girl, how does this affect me? Well, as I said, time is use. And being able to redistribute the energy that you generate and put it back into what's called a microgrid. Up until 3 years ago, microgrids didn't really exist. Now, according to the Federal Energy Commission, or FERC, we are able to generate power and sell, quote unquote, sell it back, or put power into the system to avoid blackouts. This is the excess that we generate over the course of the day that we're not using, so it can be used in other portions of the grid. That's what's called distributed energy or a microgrid. What that does is you would send that back out to the main grid. The main grid saying, okay, we need to put this, we need some more, there's more demand in Irvine, so all of the extra watts that they don't need in Lawndale, we're going to send to Irvine. We won't discuss the politics behind that. But then Irvine does not have a power blackout. Their sub-zeros work, all of that. That is what distributed energy is. More and more and more, we will no longer need to have permits to do that. It will simply be assumed. So that's where our watts come from. That's the duck curve, and that's time of use in a nutshell. Now, the duck curve really becomes, apparently it becomes extreme, and we have a net load. We have a net load of, wow, guess how much? One, I'm sorry, 11,663 megawatts. And that was during the pandemic. Now Cal ISO has estimated that to be 24,000, almost 25,000 megawatts. So that is what we are. Tune in next Monday when we're going to talk about energy. Why? Because energy affects our pocketbook. Just another Manic Monday.